eyes to see your miracles all around. Transform our hearts so that we are moved to respond right now to the urgent needs in your world. Amen.
Welcome to Concordia. In the United Methodist Church, today is set aside as a special Sunday, Human Relations Sunday. That calls all of our churches to participate in helping all God's children to realize their potential. Turn on the news or drive around and you will find what Jesus called the least of these. Those living in the margins of society, struggling to survive. Over and over, Jesus served people like this, embracing them. And that's what we strive to model as people of the United Methodist Church. Please stand as you are able and join us in singing our opening song, We are the body of Christ, number 2227 in the Black Hymnal.
Screen above. Servants, stewards, and guests, let us praise God who is our host.
Let those who gather at the wedding in Cana, now is the time for us to celebrate love.
Just as Jesus transformed water into wine,
now is the time for us to become agents of transformation for the world.
On this Human Relations Day, we give thanks for the diversity of God's creation.
Now is the time to infuse the world with the signs of Christ's love.
We come as servants, stewards, and guests believing in Christ.
Now is the time to build up celebratory spaces where divine justice, peace, mercy, and reconciliation thrive.
Please remain standing and join in singing We Are All One in Mission, number 2243 in the Black Hymnal. Join me in prayer on the screen above. Lord, open our hearts to the surprising ways in which you offer
to us your love and your presence.
Help us to truly believe in the wondrous ways that you work in our lives. Give us heart and spirit.
I want to invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Come on up. I want you to turn so that you'll be able to see me, because I want to teach you a song this morning. Okay? And when we get to the scripture today, it's about love. Because there's two stories about, it's about marriage and what marriage means. And so I want to teach you this song. But you need to be able to see me so that you can do the motions with it. So can you turn around and look at me? Or should I turn around? Okay, I'll turn around. One slide over here. Okay. Okay, do you know what the sign language is for love, the word for love? This is love, okay? And love grows, okay? So it's like a plant underneath here, and it grows up, okay? So love grows one by one, two by two, and four by four. Love grows round like a circle and comes back knocking at your front door, okay? So, love grows one by one, two by two, and four by four. Love grows round like a circle and comes back knocking at your front door. Get that part wrong. Okay? Did you ever see love growing? You know how I see love growing? I can see love growing in all of you. You know why? Your parents loved each other. And your parents got married and made a commitment to each other. And children are an expression of parents' love. Okay? So have you seen love? Look in the mirror. Have you seen love? Look in the mirror. Okay? Love grows. And the service today is talking a lot about love and how we see that. Can you try singing with me? Love grows one by one, two by two, and four by four. Love grows round like a circle and comes back knocking at your front door. Thank you. I think you're going to be singing some more now, aren't you? Yeah.
Jesus loves me. Sing about his love, about his love, sing about his, sing about his love, about his love, sing. Sing about his love, about his love, sing about his, sing about his love, about his love, sing. Na 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 na.
In the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I won't keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I won't sit still until her righteousness shines out like a light, and her salvation blazes like a torch. Nations will see your righteousness, all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, which the Lord's own mouth will determine. You will be a splendid garland in the Lord's hand, a royal turban in the palm of God's hand. You will no longer be called abandoned, and your land will no longer be called deserted. Instead, you will be called, "My delight is in her," and your land, "married." Because the Lord delights in you, your land will be cared for once again. As a young man marries a young woman, so your sons will marry you with the joy of a bridegroom because of his bride. So your God will rejoice because of you.
The third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother came to him. "They don't have any wine," Jesus replied. "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby were six stone water jars used for the Jewish cleaning ritual, each able to hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some from them and take it to the head waiter." And they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
A story. I was just minding my business, sitting out in my car in front of the grocery store, waiting for my spouse to finish the shopping. It had been raining. You know, drizzly and spitting showers. The clouds were dark in most of the sky. I looked to my right and got a surprise. Here in the middle of winter, a rainbow. The light of the sun broke through and showed the rainbow as clear as can be. You have no idea how this made me feel. I'm not a wintry person, but I wasn't feeling particularly joyful. Somehow, the surprise of that rainbow lightened my spirits. God or not God? Just an atmospheric phenomenon? I don't know. But somehow it made me feel a bit brighter and happier. Another story. The ground here is slushy. Some of the snow has melted with the January thaw. But it's not pretty. It's muddy and slushy. Everything is muddy and slushy. It tracks in everywhere, leaving watery and dirty patches on floors and rugs. Yuck! Where is the pristine whiteness of my beautiful winter scenery? Why is it all so muddy and slushy? As I looked in disgust at the mud and slush, I thought about the mud and slush that I have allowed in my life. I have opened rooms in my spirit for sadness, frustration, pettiness, prejudice, bitterness, envy, and greed. I put up a sign, "Come on in and join the party." They came in, but it wasn't a party unless you call it a pity party. Me feeling sorry for myself, dancing or sloshing around in my own mud and slush. I don't know how it happened, if it was the reference to Jesus at the wedding in Cana, when he surprised his guest by the gracious transformational gift of turning water into wine. But Jesus had turned my whining spirit into dancing and thankfulness. I have spent too much time in my pity rooms. I needed to go outside my fears into the light and joy. Well, I am here, and it is good. One final story. When Tommy, a special needs child, was born, I thought to myself, I'm not the best person for this. I'm not a patient person. Frankly, I don't think that compassion and empathetic understanding are a part of my skill set. We had a particularly challenging day with Tommy. His confusion and his outbursts were worse that day than usual. I tried to interest him in kicking a ball around in the yard, but he refused to play. In frustration, I sat down and I just wanted to weep. I said to myself, I can't do this. I'm the wrong person to have a child who is this difficult to parent. That's what I said. And just then I looked across the yard at Tommy. He was lying in the grass, looking at a bug or something, head in his hands, looking intently and smiling. And all at once, I saw Tommy differently, not as a problem to be solved, but as a gift. I think I saw my son as God sees my son, just for an instant. In a moment, I looked at Tommy as a gift of God. I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't feeling particularly religious. And that makes it all the more amazing. This probably sounds crazy, but as I was driving to soccer practice, I saw a car in front of me that had a bumper sticker that said, "You are loved." I think it maybe was an advertisement for a school or maybe even a bar. I don't know. At any rate, as I read that bumper sticker, I just had this feeling of being embraced, of being lifted up from where I was, as if everything was falling in place, and I knew, I really knew that God loved me. Guess that sounds crazy. But that's just how it happened. One of the joys of being a pastor is that I hear those kinds of stories. I hear stories of your epiphanies, those rare moments when it's as if a veil is pulled back, that veil that separates us from God, and we can see God present in our world. It's a glimpse into something deep mysterious and clear. We are given epiphanies. We are given manifestations of God. And today in our gospel, we heard an epiphany moment, the wedding in Cana. Mary was being a Jewish mother. They've run out of wine. Woman, what's that got to do with you or me? It's not our party. Not exactly the right tone to take with your mother. It's the wrong time and it's the wrong place. But this Jewish mother said, listen to him and do what he asked you to do. She didn't care that he had objections. 180 gallons of water were transformed into the very best wine without speaking magic words or without a magic formula. And the gospel tells us that in that, when Jesus' disciples saw that, they saw his glory and they believed in him. There was something mystical, something undeniable, something inexplicable. But the veil had been pulled back. Just like the disciples, we are given a vision, a glimpse, something beneath what we normally see. Sometimes God breaks in and gives us an epiphany. Now, I'm guessing that many of you, most of you, maybe all of you, have had these kinds of epiphanies. I heard about some of them in confirmation this morning. But one of the things I've noticed about epiphanies is that we're reluctant to talk about them. It's we don't want to make it less than what it was, or we don't want people to go, okay, I'm sure you're okay. And we are skeptical of mysticism in this day and age when we want to know what is happening, when it's happening, and how it's happening. We want to be able to rationally understand what's going on. But we still receive the epiphanies. Another thing about epiphanies that it's beyond our ability to explain or to fully interpret. I can tell you about being awakened in the middle of the night and called to ministry, and I can give you all of the details that were there, but it just doesn't explain well. There's something about that that those who weren't there don't quite get it. Now, we can get it when we've had our own epiphanies, and we may not understand exactly what a person is telling us, but we know what this epiphany is. We know what it is when God breaks through. It happens to us because, in part, it happens to us in part because Jesus comes to us as a person. Jesus comes to us personally engaging with us. And it reminds us that our faith is not just something that's up in our head, but it's something that's within us. To say, I believe in Christ, is kind of like saying, I believe in my best friend, Dana. I have confidence in Dana because I've got a whole list of experiences with her, and I found that my friend Dana is real and trustworthy and lovable. And so I believe in Jesus Christ
because I've had these experiences that are real and trustworthy and lovable. And some are more revelatory than others. There's a third thing about these epiphanies. They don't very often happen in church. Most of them happen in the middle of our day when we're doing something ordinary. They happen when we aren't trying to be religious. They happen when we're not busy trying to think about God. The epiphany tells us that God is thinking about us. It's a gift of God. It's nothing that we can generate. It's a gift. So the disciples believed in Jesus as a result of the water being turned into wine. I can see them. They're pointing a finger. They see some truth. And this is the first sign that they've seen. They see something that they know is true and real. That something's going on with this Jesus that's beyond what we can see with our eyes. It points to something else. Like the danger ahead, slow down sign. Or the sign that says, the speed limit is monitored in this town. It tells us. It points us to something that's valuable beyond the sign itself. The value of this sign is that it grabs our attention, and we know that there's much more going on here than just a social occasion. This is more than what happens at weddings. And God gives us these inexplicable, unexpected moments to help push us or lure us toward belief. The wedding at Cana prepares us for the more that Jesus is going to reveal. Now, I hope that you've been given epiphanies by God, signs that point to the reality of who God is. And don't be surprised if Jesus shows up at a wedding party or at your office or in your classroom tomorrow, or when you're standing at the sink doing dishes. Jesus shows up, reveals something, and we respond, I believe. God wants us to know that God cares about us. God wants us to know that we are loved. And God comes to us when we don't expect it. God comes to us when we know that we need something, but we're not sure what it is that we need. This movie was a great epiphany to me. When E.T. is sick and Elliot wants to get to him, the lead government person asked what was going on at the hill. And Elliot responds, I really shouldn't tell. He came to me. He came to me. Elliot was a little boy who was alienated and alone, struggling through parents' divorce. And he needed to know that someone really cared about him. But the government person responded, "Elliot, he came to me too. I've been wishing for this since I was 10 years old. I don't want him to die. What can we do that we're not already doing?" And Elliot said, "He needs to go home. He's calling his people. I don't know where they are, but he needs to go home." And the government official responds, "He wasn't left here intentionally, but his being here is a miracle. It's a miracle. And you did all that you could to help him. Now let me do what I can do." And so they take E.T., and it looks like he has died. Elliot discovers that he's living, and they've gone on the bicycle ride across town to go to the hill, flying across the moon on their bicycles. And they get there, and Elliot's people have come for him. Not Elliot's, E.T.'s people have come for him. And E.T. and Elliot are saying goodbye to each other. E.T. has a heart light that shines up. So that Elliot can see what it is he's feeling. His heart light is shining. And E.T. puts his finger to his mouth, touches this, and says, "Ouch," because loving hurts. And E.T. and Elliot touches his heart and says, "Ouch," as well, because loving sometimes hurts. And E.T. says, "Come." And Elliot has to say no. And E.T. touches again and puts his head on Elliot's head and says, "I will be right here." The reason that this has been an epiphany movie for me is because those are the experiences that many of us have had in our relationship with Jesus. When we hurt, Jesus hurts. Jesus doesn't stop loving. The song says, "Come back again. I want you to stay next time. Because sometimes the world ain't kind when people get lost like you and me. I just made a friend. A friend is someone you need. But now that he has had to go away, I still feel the words that he might say. Turn on your heart light. Let it shine wherever you go. Let it make a happy glow for all the world to see. Turn on your heart light." Our God loves us so much that God comes to us and breaks through our everydays and helps our heart lights to shine for all the world to see. Amen.
We belong together in this house through the love of God that draws us together. Let us share our love with others through our gifts and our service of every kind. Join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Because of your generosity to us, God above, we have courage to be generous. Bless our gifts. May they bring acts of generous love to make it clear that your love extends beyond the doors of this place.
Are there people or situations that you would lift for our prayer time this morning? He's gone now. Dave Regala had a heart attack earlier in the week and was at University Hospital. When I saw him, he said, "I'll be there Sunday." So he was. And Gordon also had some tests this week. And they didn't find anything bad. Let us pray. God of light and joy, the daylight hours are getting longer for us. But there still remains darkness within. We continue to look at your wonderful ways, the ways you work in our lives, and see your glory. So the beginning of all that is, you poured your love and light into this world and into our lives. You have offered us countless blessings. You offer us opportunities for service. We continue to bring before you names and situations of people that are in direst need. We pray for those around the world who do not have the security of shelter or food or freedom from the destruction of war. We ask for your continued mercies, and yet we know that your mercies in this world are extended through us. Give us spirits of trust and rejoicing, that we may be your people for all of our days. Gracious God, you are the giver of all good things. Receive our prayer that we offer for ourselves and for our world. In all things, grant us the courage to live and share the gifts that you've given us for the good of the world. Prepare us for joyful service in your world. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As we leave today, we want to remind you of some of the things happening at Concordia this week. A reminder that the Outreach Committee continues to collect personal care items to be handed out at the second and fourth Sunday community meals. Any donated items for Zelfa's pantry can be placed on the counter or the bin under the counter in the kitchen between the refrigerators. Thank you for helping to continue what Zelfa started.
Today, following worship, all are invited for the soup and sustenance conversation in Fellowship Hall. No sign-up was required. The conversation will be focused on the proposals that will be considered at the General Conference in February. This week, the Nurture Committee will meet on Monday night at 6:30 and the Finance Committee on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Both meetings will be held here at the church.
This is a message for all the treasurers. Please bring in your books that are needed for the audit this week as you are able to. We have a special announcement today from Emily Karncross.
That don't know, I'm Emily Karncross, Chairman of the Staff Parish Relations Committee. You were notified this week that Pastor Doris is going to be retiring in June. And this past Monday, the Staff Parish Relations Committee met with the district superintendent with a potential candidate as our new pastor. Jeff, you want to put a picture up? Dear Concordia United Methodist Church, my name is Pastor Claire Mather, and I will be your new pastor starting this summer. For the past 2 years, I have served as the pastor of Our Savior's United Methodist Church in Mondovi, Wisconsin, and Gilmanton United Methodist Church in Gilmanton, Wisconsin. Previous to this, I completed my Master's of Divinity at Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton, New Jersey, and a Bachelor of Arts degree from Prescott College in Environmental Studies, Earth Science. I am a native Wisconsinite. Although I lived in several different places throughout my childhood, my family currently lives near a small town south of Madison called Albany. Yes, that makes me both a Packers and a Badgers fan. I took a long route through college and seminary, living in many different places in my young adulthood, including Arizona, Montana, New Jersey, and New York. During seminary, I served as a youth director and seminary intern at Newtown United Methodist Church in Newtown, Pennsylvania. I also spent a summer working as a chaplain in Glacier National Park, and 4 summers as a staff member at Pine Lake United Methodist Camp and Retreat Center in Westfield, Wisconsin. I also served 2 terms in AmeriCorps, working with elementary and middle school age students. Some of my favorite hobbies include backpacking and hiking. This spring, I'm marrying the love of my life, Corey Douglas. Corey is a deacon serving Bashford United Methodist Church in Madison, Wisconsin. Together, we have a golden retriever puppy named Hero. I enjoyed meeting with the Staff Parish Relations Committee and am excited about the ministry opportunities present at Concordia United Methodist Church. It was wonderful to hear about all the good work that your church has been doing within your community. I am sure that together with God's leading, we will have an opportunity to strengthen and grow together in the coming years. Peace in Christ, Pastor Claire Mather. The Staff Parish Relations Committee is excited about this new appointment that we have. We're disappointed that Doris is leaving us, but we've got a new challenge ahead of us.
Please join us in singing our closing hymn, We Are Called, number 2172 in the Black Hymnal.
That you might be a blessing to others. God will walk and be with you, relieving your burdens and giving you strength. Go into God's world, reaching out to others. Now is the time to go with the celebration into the world. Amen.
Sing, sing, God, your song.
Amen.